Good evening. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the BPER Full Year 2019 Consolidated Results Conference Call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Vandelli, CEO of BPER Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for joining this conference call today about our 2019 results. This is Alessandro Vandelli, CEO, and I'm here with Roberto Ferrari, CFO, Alessandro Simonazzi, Head of Planning and Control, and Gilberto Borghi, Investor Relations Manager. As you all know, 2019 was a very important year for our group because we delivered a large number of strategic deals, which helped us to grow in all business lines through the enlargement of the group to Mediobanca and Arca Holding, to improve our asset quality, to simplify our governance model and rationalize the structure of the group. Finally, to lay the foundations for future cost reduction and an important generational turnover. We have been able to do all these things, confirming a solid capital position and a good level of profitability. Please go to the executive summary on page five of the presentation, which is already available on our website. First of all, I would like to emphasize that all the strategic operations scheduled for 2019 were completed. It's not necessary to recap all the actions we finalized during 2019, but I'd like to focus only on Q4 actions just to complete the picture. In October, we signed the agreement with the trade unions provided for in the 2019-2021 business plan. At the end of November, UnipolBanca was merged by incorporation into the parent company, BPER Banca, and in December, we concluded the public exchange offer on Banco di Sardegna selling shares with a percentage of success of over 80%. It is just worth remembering that UnipolBanca and Arca Holding became part of the BPER Group scope of consolidation starting from the 1st July 2019. In my opinion, looking back to 2019, there are five important topics to underline. First, the strong profitability. All in all, our profitability is very positive, also supported by contribution of UnipolBanca and Arca Holding, despite a difficult macroeconomic scenario and low negative interest rate levels. Net profit was about 380 million euro, the second-best results in the history of the group after the 2018 one. This result was affected by change in the scope of consolidation and the presence of some non-recurring items. In particular, in the second half of the year, we can underline one-off cost of 136 million euro gross of the tax effect relating to the redundancy plan, confirming the group's headcount target set by the business plan. One-off expenses relating to the strategic operations for 21.1 million euro, higher loan loss provisions with an increase of over 150 million euro compared to the first half, also in line with the expected further acceleration of the de-risking process. Moreover, we recorded impairments on properties and equity investments for a total amount of 34.1 million euro. These components were substantially balanced by the accounting of the badwill generated by the acquisition of UnipolBanca, equal to 343.4 million euro after the conclusion of the purchase price allocation process. We will go through details in a few minutes. Second topic, increased dividend. This is strongly related to the profitability and a solid capital position, we have proposed a cash dividend of 14 cents per share for 2019 versus 13 cents for 2018. Therefore, the amount of cash dividend distributed will increase by 16.5%, confirming the trend of constant growth of shareholder remuneration over time. Please move on the next page, 6. The third point is solid capital. Our capital position is very strong even after the completion of the extraordinary deals and the de-risking process. We have been able to manage capital in a very effective way, and we continue to be very solid with a common equity tier 1 ratio fully phased at 12.01% at the end of 2019, versus 12.36% in September and 11.95% at the end of 2018. The four topics, again, good news from asset quality start point. Our gross NPE ratio declined further to 11.1% compared with 11.6% in September and 13.8% at the end of 2018. We were able to more than half the ratio since the peak of the crisis in mid-2016 when we had an NPA gross ratio of 23.5%. And just to note that it would have been even lower at 10.8% on a pro forma basis, net of the new definition of default applied in Q4. It's worth highlighting also that the NPE ratio net declined by 1 percentage point year on year to 5.8%. The 2019 default rate stands at a low level of 1.7% versus 1.9% in 2018. All these figures clearly show the strong step forward in asset quality of our group year after year, and more has to come. As you know, we have already started the activities for a new securitization of a portfolio of bad loans expected by the end of the first half 2020, with the aim of reaching over 1 year in advance the target of a gross NPE ratio below 9%, setting the business plan for 2021. Last point on business, we recorded a strong increase of customer volumes, mainly due to the change in the scope of consolidation, with inclusion of Unipol Bank and Arca Holding in the perimeter of the group. Having said that, our total funding reached a very important size of 175.5 billion euro, including 6.8 billion of bank assurance business. Asset under management and asset under custody, along with life insurance segment, reached a very significant size of over 117 billion euro, becoming even more supportive than in the past for the commission's growth. Net loans to customers are at 52 billion euro. We can show a positive development in the origination of residential mortgages and customer credit, up respectively by 19.9% and 6.1% versus 2018. So looking back to all that we were able to realize during 2019 and the very positive results obtained, we can be optimistic for the future trends. Now let's go very quickly into the analysis of the 2019 results, starting from the balance sheet. We can move on to page 8. The consolidation of Unipol Bank and Arca Holding has significantly changed the shape of our assets and liabilities. So any comparison versus 2018 is not useful. Anyway, I'll try to give some color about the main trends. Total funding reached the 175.5 billion euro in 2019 with the contribution of Arca Holding of 17.1 billion euro. With the consolidation of Unipol Bank and Arca Holding in the group, volumes, especially in indirect deposit and bank assurance, have become very significant. This will be one of the main drivers for commission growth in the future. Just to note that from Q4 onwards, asset under management include the stock of pension funds of about 3.8 billion euro. Let's turn to page 9. Here, we can see more details about the breakdown of the directed funding, which comes at 58.1 billion euro, substantially flat compared to September. Customer funding is down by 0.7% versus September, in the presence of an increase of the short-term funding by 1.9% and a decrease both of CDs and bonds. The institutional funding increased by 8.4% versus September 19 to 3.4 billion euro due to a slight increase both of bonds and repos. In 2020 and 2021, we will have only 0.9 billion euro of institutional bonds maturities, of which 750 million is a cover bond this year. On page 10, here, as I said before, we can see the significant contribution of Unipol Bank and Arca Holding consolidation to indirect deposit and bank assurance. 2019 volumes climbed over 117 billion. That's an important number, probably the highest after Intesa and UniCredit. And you can see details in the table on the slide. I'd like also to underline that we can appreciate the increase of the life insurance segment by 5.5% versus September 19th, which represents a notable result for our business. Moving on to page 11, stocks of gross and net customer loans are respectively at 55.3 billion euro and 52 billion. As you know, our strategy provides for a particular focus on mortgages and within that area on residential segment, which recorded an increase of the origination by 19.9% compared to 2018. Also, the new production on consumer credit, that is a strategic segment for our group, is positive, up by 6.1% versus 2018. The good quality of the performing loans book is confirmed with a very low bucket of high-risk exposure, 3.6% of the performing book, and a further increase of low-risk component. Gross NPE stock decreased by 13.1% since December 18 and 6% versus September 19 as a clear demonstration of our effort to improve further the asset quality of our loan book. Let's turn to page 12. This page comes as a confirmation of the good job we have done on asset quality improvement. Gross NPE ratio fell to 11.1%, down by 0.5 percentage point versus September 19 and by 2.7% versus December 18 and 8.8 percentage point versus January 18. It's worth remembering that we stood at 23.5 in mid-2016. It is obvious that this is not the final target we have in mind, and in fact we are committed to accelerate further on the risking. As I said before, we have already started the activity for a new securitization of the bad loan portfolio, expected by the end of the first half 2020, with the aim of reaching over 1 year in advance the target of a gross NPE ratio well below 9%, setting a business plan for 2021. We are confident to be able to successfully deliver as our track record clearly shows. It was noting that also the net NP ratio decreased to 5.8% in 2019, 1 percentage point lower than the value of December 18. NP coverage is almost flat versus September at 51%. Moving on to page 13, we can appreciate a significant improvement of the default rate, which stand at 1.7% compared to 1.9% in 2018 and 4.2% in 2016. It would have been even lower considering the new definition default. This is a clear evidence of the effectiveness of the credit strategies and policies adopted by the group in the last years. We can also focus on the strong improvement of the bank loans recovery rate, which comes at 6.3% compared to 5.3% in 2018. This is a confirmation that our servicing platform, Deeper Credit Management, is very efficient. It is doing an excellent job and playing an important role within our overall NP strategy. Page 14, the securities portfolio reported only a slight increase of 0.2 billion euro versus September. Italian government bonds are at 6.4 billion euro, weighing 33.5% of the financial asset portfolio. We continue to follow our strategy to diversify the financial portfolio and not to be too concentrated on the Italian sovereign risk. Total bond and Italian govies portfolio duration are respectively 3.0 years and 4.3 years. Now we can move on to profit and loss figures on page 16. 2019 net profit came at 379.6 million euro compared to 402 million euro in 2018, which including non-recurring gains realized on debt securities. But obviously, the two outcomes are not directly comparable, mainly because of the change in the scope of consolidation in the second half 2019, and as well as some significant non-recurring items in the two periods. Commenting the 2019 results, it's worth highlighting that in particular, in the second half, we registered no recurring charges relating to the redundancy plan provided for in the business plan of 136 million euro gross of the tax effect, confirming the group's headcount target set by the business plan. External costs relating to strategic operations concluded in 2019 for 21.1 million euro, higher loan loss provision with an increase of over 150 million compared to the first half, 301 million euro in the second half 2019 compared to 148 in the first. Also in line with the stated acceleration of the de-risking process, impairments on properties and equity investments for a total amount of 34.1 million euro. These components were substantially balanced by the accounting of the 343.4 million euro of the badwill generated by the acquisition of Unipol Banca after the conclusion of the purchase price allocation process. Our capacity to be remunerative and generate capital allows us to propose an increased dividend distribution of 14 cents compared to 13 cents in 2018. We can move on very quickly to page 17. I'd like to advise you that while going into details of the profit and loss figures, we must remember that the comparison between annual 2019 and 2018 data is not homogeneous, so my comments will be focused when necessary on the quarter-on-quarter trends, because only the Q4 and Q3 results can be comparable. About net interest income. Here, as usual, we focus on the ordinary NII, net of IFRS 9 and 16 effects, which comes resilient in Q4 at 299.5 million euro, compared with 304.7 million euro in Q3, -1.7% quarter-on-quarter. The reason why we look at the ordinary NII should be well known for our group, which is facing an important de-risking process, the impact of IFRS 9 and the 16 accounting changes are particularly relevant. Given the current difficult macroeconomic scenario and the low negative interest rate environment, I think this can be considered a positive result overall. On page 18, we are very satisfied with the net commission trend. Q4 net commission reached 275.9 million euro, compared to the 268.3 million in Q3, showing a remarkable growth of 2.8% quarter-on-quarter. We recorded a very positive trend in bancassurance commissions, which with an increase of more than 50% quarter-on-quarter. We also record the growth in credit card collections and payments, +4.7%, and loans and guarantees, +2.4%. This positive result is perfectly in line with our goal to improve our approach to our fee-oriented businesses, in which we are investing a lot in terms of resources. As I said before, larger direct deposit and bancassurance volumes are supportive for our commissions. On page 19, in Q4, trading income was positive for 36.8 million euro, down compared to 49.7 million in Q3, as you can see in right box of the slide. I think that we demonstrated also in this sector a positive profitability trend. Moving forward to page 20, operating costs in Q4 are impacted by significant non-recurring charge, as you can see in the call-out in the right box of the slide. In fact, in Q4, we accounted 136 million euro related to the redundancy plan provided for, the business plan, and non-recurring expenses related to the strategic operation for 21.1 million euro. In addition to that, we accounted impairments on properties for 26.9 million euros. The cost of the redundancy plan was lower than expected, mainly due to a couple of factors. First, about 170 employees left their job in advance already this year, and they were excluded by the redundancy plan with lower costs embedded in the maneuver. And second, a large number of employees utilized the so-called quota change decree with a saving on the plan. The agreement with union about the redundancy plan confirmed the group's headcount targets set in the business plan and allow us to express positive expectations on cost reduction in 2020 and 2021. On page 21, in Q4 2019, we recorded loan loss provisions of 139.5 million. Cost of credit rose to 86 basis points versus 47 basis points in 2018. The increase of loan loss provision in the second half compared with the first half is in line with expected further acceleration of the de-risking process, related to the new securitization we are working on. This is expected by the end of the first half 20, with the aim of reaching the target of a gross NP ratio below 9%. So now, on page 23, about liquidity, our liquidity position is very solid. The net liquidity position is 11.4 billion. Our total eligible assets are at 20.9 billion euro, along with a bucket of unencumbered eligible assets of 10.4 billion euro, and debt liquidity of 1.1 billion euro made by deposits with the ECB. Both LCR and NSFR ratios stand well over 100%. On page 24, you can appreciate that we were able to confirm our solid capital position with a CET1 ratio fully phased at 12.01%, even after the completion of all the strategic transactions. It includes, as we have already seen, no recurring charge related to the redundancy plan and the strategic operation, a high level of provisions and impairments on properties and equity investments. The main effects in the last quarter, as you can see in the slide, were on the negative side, 41 bps for the Q4 loss and 4 bps for other adjustments, and on the positive side, 10 basis points related to the public exchange offer on Banco di Sardegna selling shares. Being able to confirm our capital ratio at this level, also in this year, affected by many strategic transactions and impacted by one-off charge that will release the benefits in the future, is a very important achievement, confirming our ability in capital management and the focus of the group on capital solidity. Now, in conclusion, let me highlight briefly key messages on page 26. The main takeaways from our 2019 results, in my view, are we delivered what we promised. 2019 was a challenging year, and we are proud of the results we reached. We start 2020 with a solid capital position after having completed all the strategic operations. We also charged for the redundancy plan and the upcoming provision for the bank loan securitization. Our objective is to maintain a well above 12% common equity one ratio, fully loaded target for this year. Our track record in improving asset quality is very clear. As I said before, our target is to go below 9%, and we are taking action to reach this level by the end of the first half 2020. This is over 1 year in advance of what is embedded in the business plan for 2021 through a new bad loans securitization. In addition to all those achievements, net profit is very positive and revenues are resilient. Operating costs are expected to benefit from what we did in 2019. Starting from this point, our group has the opportunity to reach a good and sustainable level of profitability going forward and to face the challenges of 2020. Now, thank you all for your time and attention. We are ready to start to the Q&A session and to take your questions. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Azzurra Guelfi with Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. One is on NII and one is on asset quality. Can you give us some indication on the main drivers of the NII for 2020 and what's also your approach when it comes to the government bond and funding? The second question is on the NPLs. You said that you will try to accelerate the NPL disposal and bring the target forward, which is clearly an effort on the risking. Could we read this that it's NPLs and the potential impact on capital and coverage still one of the key data points that could be considered in the case of M&A? Thank you.
Okay, Azura, thank you. Thank you very much. First of all, on NII, well, obviously, the change in the perimeter of consolidation is not simple to express clearly the trend of NII. I think the best way is to see the last quarter of this year. And what we think is that it's possible during 2020 to have an increase in NII. Obviously, there is still a high pressure on it. And on the negative side, I think that time value and also the yield on asset will be a negative element. But on the other side, we think to have room to reduce cost of funding, to increase volume after a year where our focus was the combination of Unipol Banca and BPER. And also to work on some area where we expect to increase our presence, like the consumer credit. The combination of these elements, we think that is possible to see starting from the Q4 2019 an increase in next year. Well, about the asset quality, first of all, let me say that thinking about where we were some years ago, this year to look at this level, this target to go below 9% is, in my view, an important first result of our action. Obviously, it's not the final target. And yes, I think that in the analysis of potential combination, the asset quality is still crucial, at the same time also to understand if there is the right coverage, because, you know, in our view, we look at the same time equity, common equity one, coverage at the NPE. These are the three elements that we take into consideration to understand if a combination or an M&A like we did in the last year with Unipol Banca is positive or not for our group. And we see what we could happen in the coming year. Thank you, Azzurra.
The next question is from Giovanni Razzoli with Equita Group. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. A couple of questions on my side. On the NII, if you can please share with us what could be the impact of the tiering in 2020. You have not mentioned this as a part of the positive elements of the NII, but I think it's more or less included somewhere there. So this is my first question. The second question relates to the stock of NPE. If you can please share with us what was the inflation in terms of euro million related to the new definition of default. And I've seen that despite this change in the accounting principle or regulatory principle, the stock of NPE was down by 390 million euros of quarter on quarter in terms of gross stock of NPE, which is a very good achievement, especially there was, if I'm not mistaken, a decrease in the UTP on a quarter on quarter basis. If you can share with us what were the main trends behind these performance, the back to bonus, the disposal, and also what was the amount of cancellations or the recognition of the loans that you have recorded. And the final questions on the full-time equivalent reduction, the cost associated with it. You've booked 135 million euros of one-off as a part of the agreement with the trade union, which involves, if I'm not mistaken, 1,290 full-time equivalent. First of all, I would like to know the phasing of the exits of the resources, so to have an idea of the trend in the staff cost in 2020. And secondly, I was wondering whether these 135 million euros cover the full 1,300 reduction in the full-time equivalent, or if there is some other, provisions already accrued, because the cost seems to me a little bit low, and it's surprisingly low. So I was wondering whether there is already something else that you have booked. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Giovanni. We take your last questions, first of all, about the redundancy plan. Yes, I confirm that 136 is, in our estimate, the full amount of the cost, and I fully confirm the target in terms of number of organic for BPER Group in our business plan. Yes, I tried to explain during my presentation that the positive effect was first of all because we had some exit during 2019 and we had some cost related to this in 2019 cost of the staff. But at the same, quota center decree was crucial to reduce an expected cost between 180 and 200 million euro in our business plan to this level of 135, 36 million euro. We are working on the phasing of the reduction of our staff. A large part will be in 2020. We expect to have an effect when we complete the exit of the employees, a positive effect of around 80 million euros. I hand over to Roberto for the effect of tiering, and now I try to recap the other question with my colleagues. Roberto.
Hi, Giovanni. Through tiering, actually, we should have a benefit of 15 million compared to 2019. And thanks to tiering, actually, we would like to keep to have a stable contribution of the financial portfolio and the treasury to the net interest income.
Okay, about the trend of the UTP. Yes, we have started in the last part of the year a strategy of UTP disposal. So we completed during the last part of the year disposal for 120 UTP. Also this first quarter 2020 we are working on other disposal. You know, I think is crucial for another reduction in the NPE gross ratio to work not only on bad loans but also on the UTP. I would like to express that after the securitization on which we are working now, I think that we completed the massive disposal of bad loans. So we expect to be able to complete a new securitization of bad loans, I hope around 1.2 billion or something more. After that, the amount of bad loans will have another reduction, and I think that the strategy will change with a lower amount of portfolio, one single portfolio, and a single loans, and we have to work on UTP, and we started during this year. The impact of the new definition of default was around 150 million euro. This is the effect. Obviously, there was this one-off effect during 2019. Obviously, the NPE gross ratio was lower without this level of new definition of default, and it was 10.8%. I think we take all your questions.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Just a follow-up on net interest income. I was wondering, I see that there is some pressure in terms of asset spread, so if you can elaborate a little bit on the new production, in particular on mortgages compared to the back book, what kind of spread you are getting from the new production. And a clarification on the tiering. Roberto, you said the 14-15 million euro additional positive contribution in 2020, but in the fourth quarter you already booked part of the tiering effect or not? And on still on the carry trade, the contribution of the financial portfolio, I see that you have a very few maturities in the next 3 years as far as the Italian govies. I was wondering, you said that you are expecting some a stable contribution from financial portfolio. Are you planning to increase the exposure to Italian govies, or do you think that this is the right size? And last two questions. One on the impairments. I saw some write-offs on real estate, if you can elaborate a little bit, and what kind of an approach you have on your real estate assets. Are you planning to put at fair value? It's just a specific write-off on some assets. And finally, on Common Equity Tier 1 ratio, 12%. Is a good level. Still, you have to do some disposal. I don't know. I saw that at the end of the day, the loan loss provision I was expecting for the fourth quarter to speed up maybe the process to sell some NPL was lower than expected. So I was wondering, do you think that you will be able to do 1.2 billion securitization without any additional provision, and in terms of capital, do you see any headwinds in 2020-21? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. So probably I take the last part on our capital position, then I ask to Roberto to go into the detail in our strategy on the securities portfolio. So we try to take advantage of the spread wheel and during the second half 2019 to increase the coverage of the perimeter of our disposal. And so if you look at the coverage of bad loans, there was an increase in the last Q of roughly 3 percentage points from 63 to 66%. We think that the level of coverage today is in line with the expected prices of the portfolio. I would like also to express that we are extremely confident on our capital position, because we expect a good trend in 2020, not only for our capital generation, but also because we hope to have some positive effect starting from the alignment of the internal model to Unipol Banca portfolio. Obviously, we have to work with the ECB on this point, but we hope to have by the end of the year this significant element that in terms of basis point on Common Equity 1 is Above 50 basis points, if I remember correctly, is probably around 60 basis points. So we are absolutely confident to have a very strong capital position and to manage effectively all the action on the project on asset quality. On real estate asset, there were some specific write-offs. In the last years, we tried to work on some specific real estate in our portfolio. What I want to express that we are working on a real estate project, and I hope by the end of the fourth Q to complete all the analysis, and probably there will be a new division in our group, something like the deep credit management that work on the Belmont side. I think that we are working to have something similar also on the real estate, because we think that we have some opportunities on this area. Speaking about securities portfolio, and in particular on government bonds, as expressed many times, our view is that it's important to maintain a well-diversified portfolio without any significant concentration on Italian government bonds. So this is the decision, and believe me, sometimes was not simple to maintain this position and not to take advantage when the spread was wide in the last part of 2018. Anyway, Roberto, please go ahead on this point.
Christian, good evening. On tiering, actually the 14 million benefit is a delta compared to 2019. And we already considered that in 2019, in the last 2 months, we benefited from the tiering because it was already applied. So 14 million is the incremental contribution to net interest income thanks to the tiering. What I was saying before is that considering this benefit, our aim is to keep a stable contribution from the financial portfolio and from the treasury compared to the one that we had in 2019. The strategy that we have in the portfolio, we marginally increased the size by 250 million early this year, and marginally increased the duration. The duration was 2.9 at the end of last year. Now we are close to 3.10. So actually there was a small increase in the duration of the portfolio, but the total size, the increase of the total size was very marginal.
I would like Alessandro Simonazzi to explain, to go into details of the NII, in particular on the spread of mortgages and other elements requested by Christian.
Good evening, everybody. For what concerns expiring mortgages, the replacement effects are around minus 36 million impact on NII that will be probably, in our estimates, completely replaced by the positive effect on expiring short-term deposits expiring during the year and bonds expiring during the year. So the benefits on the commercial deposits will counterbalance the effects of the replacement of mortgages expiring during the year. For what concerns the average rate, it's about 1.5, 1.6 on fixed rate, and around 1 or 1.1 on floating rate, the new production of 2020.
And the back book that is expired?
Back book.
The back book expiring is 2% on fixed rate and 2% on average on fixed and floating rate.
Okay, just a follow-up, just a clarification on Unipol Banca, the validation of the internal model. Do you expect the validation by the end of this year or next year?
Well, cross fingers, I think that is achievable by the end of this year. Speaking with ECB, they expressed that this was one of the activities of this year. So for this reason, I think that we are working to prepare all the elements for a good presentation of our internal model, the impact of the alignment, and I can repeat that we understand that it's possible to have by the end of 2020. This is an important element, and I repeat, the impact is between 50 and 60 basis points on CET1 ratio.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Christian.
The next question is from Andrea Vercellone with Exane. Please go ahead.
Only one quick question left on commission income, Q4. In the 276 million, was there any contribution from performance fee linked to ARCA or not? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. What I know about ARCA, I think the amount of performance fees is very, very low. So there is no significant performance fees in the amount of 275 million euro of commissioning fees. And there is also a very small but significant commission for our group on Optima. Is not important for the size, is very very low the amount, but it's also important for to express clearly that we change all the line of our Optima SIM, and for the first time we beat the target, and so there was a very small amount of performance fee. But in my understanding, in the balance sheet of ARCA SGR, the performance fees are not significant.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Adele Palama with UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, I a couple of questions from me. I was wondering if you have the impact, preliminary impact on the calendar provisioning. Apologies if this question has been asked already, but can you please recap all the headwind and tailwind on the capital in 2021 and if you have a preliminary impact on Basel IV? And then can you please give us a guidance on tax rate for 2021? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Starting from your last question, what I can say about the tax rate is that our expectation for the next year is to have a tax rate around 10%. So this year was roughly 5%, and next year around 10%. About the render provisioning, we try to work on some preliminary estimate, but at this stage I would like only to express some qualitative evaluation, because the recent Unipol Bank incorporation, the disposal that we are working on for the bank loss portfolio in the first half, the first disposal of UTP, so all these elements have an impact on the level of calendar provisioning. But said this, in the horizon of the business plan, we understood that is absolutely manageable and not so significant, also in consideration that we expect to have a good capital generation during 2020 and 2021. So let's say it's a preliminary estimate. and so we would like only to work furthermore after all the deals and operations that we are completing during this first part of 2020. I don't remember there were another question about calendar provisioning, tax rate, and probably please.
Yes, a headwind and tailwinds on capital in 2021, and then
yeah,
it will have an impact for Basel IV.
Okay, capital on capital. First of all, I would like to express, first of all, what we expect to see during 2020 and 2021, because are the last 2 years of our business plan. On 2020, we expect positive effect coming from the TRIM, if we complete, if the process of the TRIM will be completed, because on one side we have a positive effect coming from the validation of PD large and the corporate, on the other side there will be the effect of TRIM. But overall, we expect a positive effect on Common Equity 1. On the same time, as I said before, also Unipol extension of the perimeter IRB has another positive effect. So the combination of these two elements means around 80 basis points of Common Equity 1. This is for the 2020. For 2021, for BPER, probably there is only the SME supporting factor, and we expect some benefits on this side, but limited around 20 basis points. More difficult is to express the level of impact in 2022, but what we can see is focusing on credit, we see that there will be a good balance between benefit and coming from the new definition of default and also the EBA guidelines. So there is a balance between the two effects, and we expect also another positive effect coming from the extension of IB on another company of the group, is the Sada Leasing. Or, having said this, so we think that the effect of 2022 of the new regulation are manageable. I would like also to explain one reason. The impact in the risk, credit risk, are mainly focused on large corporate and financial institution, and this is an area where we have a very low amount and penetration. At the same time, looking at the operational risk, also here we are not validated, and so we understood that the high impact is for the banks with a validation model for the operational risk. For this reason, we think that for BPER, the effect of Basel IV are absolutely manageable.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz with KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. So I have several questions. First of all, on capital, I just want to confirm I understood correctly that the TRIM and Unipol extension, if both happen in 2020, would be a positive effect of 80 basis points. Second, you know, cost of risk, obviously, Q4 was and Q3 was elevated. Do you have a view on... you know, and assuming you've done kind of these one-off adjustments, do you have a view on the cost of risk for 2020, you know, and if that's the normalized level? Third, do you expect to issue any more AT1s? And fourth, with ARCA, I don't know if you've finished your strategic review, if you could share any conclusions from that, and if you are to keep the business, you know, the current stake, will you be able to update the business plan targets for the inclusion of ARCA? Thank you.
Okay, thank you,
Hugo. I will take your first two questions. And first, I confirm the 80 basis points expected from TRIMS with the validation of PD Large and LD Corporate, and the alignment of Unipol in model internal model for portfolio of Unipol Bank. Cost of risk, obviously, the second half 2019 was impacted by our strategy to increase the coverage looking to the disposal in the first half 2020, but we expect a normalization during 2020, and we expect to see a cost of risk around 60-70 basis points. This is the range that we expect. Roberto, something about our plan on additional Tier 1.
Yeah, we see actually that the market is very receptive, and spreads have gone down considerably. At the moment, we are not planning an additional Tier 1, but never say never. So in the future, we will see how the market will react.
On ARCA, let's say, first of all, we are satisfied for the trend in 2019 and also the positive impact on our balance sheet. The company closed the year with a net profit more than 40 million euros, and okay, this year we have the full impact because last year was only 6 months in the perimeter of the group. So let's say we have no hurry for take a decision on ARCA, considering the positive trend. We know that there are some opportunity, but our focus is to maintain the value of ARCA. If in the future there will be some opportunities, we consider together with Popolare Sondrio, is the partner in ARCA SGR. But I repeat, we take time to understand what is the best for the future of the company, because the company is performing well. Our customer base are satisfied for the fund of ARCA, and we'll see. Frankly speaking, there is no decision on ARCA at this moment.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Noemi Peruch with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my questions. I have a couple of ones from my side. Could you please give us some color on the back book and the front book on corporate loans as well? And have you repriced, or do you intend to reprice, fees on current accounts for 2020? And if so, what impact do you expect on fees? And can you please disclose the size of the DTAs related to first-time adoption of FRS 9 you are counting on your common equity? And a follow-up on calendar provisioning. Have you already discussed with the regulator the potential application of calendar provisioning on the NPE stock for 2020? And finally, could you please repeat your cost of risk guidance for 2020? I'm not sure I've got it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I take your last question about the cost of risk. We expect for 2020 a cost of risk around 60-70 basis points. About the calendar provisioning, the answer is no. We have no discussion about the application of calendar provisioning in 2020. Having said this, as I said before, we are working in particular to adopt the best credit and strategic policies to manage this new regulation, to have the best activity on our portfolio. I don't know if you have, I'm looking to my colleagues about the other elements.
about the back book and the front book of our loan portfolio and the potential repricing, negative repricing during 2020. I can give you a flavor about the corporate side. On the corporate side, the core corporate side, we expect that we are now, we are coming out of 2019 with a yield of 1.6, and the expectation for the next year is to end the year. So this is the snapshot at the end of the year. And for the end of 2020, we expect the same rate to go down by around 5-10 basis points, 1.55 or around 1.55. This is because on the corporate side, we want to increase volumes, counterbalancing the effect of the reduction of the yield. For what concerns mortgages and the expectation of replacement, I gave you the answer some questions ago.
Yeah, on the IFRS 9 impact, actually, it is embedded in our fully loaded Common Equity Tier 1, and it explains the difference between the fully loaded and the phasing. So actually, it is fully embedded in the Common Equity Tier 1.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yes, Domenico, HSBC. Thanks for the presentation. Actually, all the questions have been answered. I just wonder whether you could actually give us an indication in absolute term for cost for 2020, because there is a much volatility here, and of course there is also the impact from consolidation of the entities that you just acquired. So that will be very helpful for the benefit of our models. Then on capital, given the slightly changed guidance that you're giving right now, I'm just wondering if the 12.5 is still a sort of a guidance for 2021 in terms of Core Tier 1, or there is an update in terms of capital as well. And then you mentioned an UTP disposal, if I'm not wrong, in the fourth quarter. Just wonder whether this has been executed at book value or there is anything to flag in terms of losses or whatever. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Domenico. Yes, it's not simple during looking back to 2018 to understand the level of cost for the coming years. What I can say that our target is to reach overall, so staff cost, administrative cost, and impairment depreciation roughly around 1.6 billion euros. This is a very challenging target, but this is what we have in mind for this year. So some benefits coming from synergies of Unicobanca, branch closure already completed during 2019, so some effect in 2020, and also something coming from staff cost. speaking about the CET1 ratio, we have in mind to be well above 12.5%, and so is absolutely the base of 2020, so we expect to be able, if we have what we mentioned before about the alignment of Unipolbanca to internal model, is possible absolutely to have something more of this level. At this stage, I would say the same for 2021.
It depends also if it will be possible to have the alignment of Sarda leasing to internal model that we plan for the 2021, but it's too early to say if also this positive effect will be on the balance sheet of 2021. I think this is all UTP. Let's say we are particularly satisfied for what we were able to complete during the last part of the year, because we have no impact on profit and loss, and because we had some positive coverage, because this unlikely to pay were in the perimeter of disposal. So in this perimeter we have not only bad loans but also some UTP. And our experience is that the coverage was in line and sometimes lower than the price on the market. And so we completed, as I said before, 120 million euro of disposal. In this fourth quarter, probably will be something like this, because our target is to complete roughly 300 million euro of disposal, and we think that this target is will be achievable. So together with disposal of bad loans through the securitization, there is also this activity on the UTP.
Sorry, just to understand on the capital, I understand all the moving parts, but would you confirm what you basically hinted in the last call, that the impact from all these moving parts should be beneficial for risk-weighted assets by around 2.5 billion euro, more or less, cumulatively, and the hit instead to capital to equity is going to be around 300. Are these the moving parts that we should consider?
Well, what I can say, in 2020, the benefit on RWA coming from the TRIM and the Unipol alignment to internal model is in excess of 2 billion of saving in RWA. In 2021, if there will be the SME supporting factor, we estimate roughly another 0.5 billion euros. So together, these elements is more than 2.5 billion euro of reduction of RWA.
And the 400 hit to, the 300 hit to capital instead, is it confirmed in 2021, the one to equity?
The shortfall.
Yeah, we say that we should have an expected loss, so a shortfall of 288, but we start 2020 with a surplus of 315 million. So actually, the shortfall should be compensated by the surplus that we have now.
So there will be no impact then to equity?
No, not from that.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Domenico.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Riccardo Rovere with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening to everybody. A very, very quick one. Could you be in the position to give us an idea what you think is the underlying risk cost in 2019? And do you think, with a default rate of 1.7% and with a coverage ratio of roughly 40, 45%, without using exactly 51%, do you agree with the fact that you underline, just because of that, your cost of credit is actually in the region of 400 million or slightly higher, so let's say 100 million per quarter, and the more you sell, and actually the cost of risk is not going to go down because you have less to work out and less to recover. Is it a wrong way of seeing things?
Well, first of all, about the default rate, as you saw for 2019, the 1.7% including obviously the impact of the new definition of default. Without it, the level was around 1.4, 1.3. Let's say, first of all, that for our group that in 2016 had a default rate of 4.2% is a very important achievement thanks to all the activities on managing the credit risk, so in terms of policies and strategies on risk. This is the first important point. Obviously, we take advantage when we have, like in this year, some extraordinary positive items like the badwill of the size of more than 300 million euro. And, you know, we have to work on our strategy to decline, to reduce the weight of non-performing loans. So we have in mind to go, as I said many times in the presentation, below 9%. And so we take all the advantage during this year. Now, what I can say is to go below 9, we have a level of coverage in line with this target. Said this, if you think that we were able to manage a reduction from 23.5 and to the target of this year, let's say around 8.5%, now we want to go on with the activity of the risking, because you know that probably we have to go to manage another reduction. But we think that together with the level of our coverage in the other provisioning, is possible to have not 5% at point less in 1 year, but a gradual reduction in our portfolio. Said this, now we expect to see this year probably roughly, as I said before, 0.6, 0.7 of cost of risk, and this means something around 70, 75 million euro per quarter. And this is our estimate at this stage. We think that is possible for this year, another year of strong reduction. Then after this target, it is possible to see another reduction, but for this year, I think this level is achievable and probably is a level that grant to BPER a good level of profitability.
Very clear. Thanks.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, so no final remarks. Thank you very much.
Good evening and see you soon.
Thank you.